Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Insurance to suit your needs. Protect your home, car or van with Zurich.
1,252, the number of black Americans killed in police shootings in the United States since 2015. Black Americans account for less than 13% of the US population, but the rate at which they are shot and killed by police is more than twice as high at the rate for white Americans. George Floyd, 46-year-old black man who died in police custody in Minneapolis on Monday, joins the growing list of African Americans whose deaths have prompted global response and activism. Sandra Bland, Philando Castile, Eric Garner. Now, to talk about the state of race relations in America, I'm joined on the line by Jelani Cobb, who's a staff writer at The New Yorker and professor of journalism at Columbia University. You're welcome to the programme, Jelani. In your piece for The New Yorker, you wrote that the video of Floyd's death is horrific but not surprising, terrible but not unusual. What does it tell us then about race in America today?
It's unfortunate, but it tells us that it remains just as volatile and difficult and explosive a subject as it has ever been in American history. And, you know, just in the last 2 weeks, there's been a cluster of incidents like this. A 26-year-old medical technician by the name of Breonna Taylor, who was shot in her home by police who were serving a arrest warrant. It appears to be they were serving the arrest warrant at the wrong address. And there was another young man. This was, I guess, a little bit longer than 2 weeks ago, but a man by the name of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, who was shot while his family says he was out jogging. And a group of residents, white residents, pursued him and shot him to death under the belief that he was a burglar. And then we have the really graphic and horrific death of Mr. Floyd, which, you know, ricocheted around the internet and really, I think, affected people in a way that they hadn't seen before, because it's a terrible thing to say, but we've become accustomed to the images of shootings. Like, we've seen quite a few of those videos, but it was probably more shocking for people to see a man asphyxiated. And you know, while the police officer just kind of casually kneeled on his neck with his hand in his pocket. And I think that was just a really stunning thing for people to see.
And you know, ignored
the anger and right, the anger that you've seen in the streets of Minneapolis as a result of that.
And ignored pleas from others to let him up, to put him in the car, to stop. And in your New Yorker piece, you drew attention to another incident that had happened a few days before this incident in Minneapolis. And this is the case of Amy Cooper, who was out walking her dog when she claimed that she was being threatened. And she got on the phone to the police and claimed she was being threatened by an African-American man. And again, you contextualize that for me.
Sure. So she was offended by the request. The man's name was Chris Cooper, Christian Cooper. They are obviously of no relation, Amy Cooper and Christian Cooper. And he requested that she place her dog on a leash. And it appears that she took offense to that request. An argument ensued, and she threatened to call the police. And I think what's pernicious about this particular situation is that she didn't threaten to call the police to mediate the argument or to resolve the problem. But she said that she was going to tell the police that an African-American man was threatening her life. And just the mere specificity of telling the police that it was an African-American man, not that, you know, one, it was a lie. It appears to have been a lie, that there was no threat made, but not just any person threatening her. She specifically wanted the people on the other end of the phone to know that this was a man of color who was threatening her. And that happened 12 hours before the death of George Floyd. And one of the things, I think, for people who are observers of this, when you talked about the 1,300 people who have been shot by police, one of the things that goes unnoticed often is that these are not always, you know, high stakes police chases where a person accidentally fires and it hits the wrong person, or these are shootings that have often happened in the most mundane of circumstances, and, you know, the most routine of interactions. And so just the mere act of summoning the police for anything is a very fraught kind of decision, certainly for many African Americans. And so the idea of calling the police on someone falsely is a situation that is kind of replete with all kinds of potential bad outcomes. And I think we saw that just, you know, 12 hours later in Minnesota.
I'm just out of time, but do you think these latest protests in Minneapolis are going to change things?
Well, something has changed. I think people have been made aware that they can't proceed as they have previously. And also the kind of level of destruction and damage that they've seen in the city, they are likely wanting to avoid something like that. And I think it's also useful to note that the mayor came out right away and just said that this was a horrible thing and the officers were guilty of murder, in his estimation. That's not something that you can count on happening. That's not a kind of common occurrence. And so there's hope that maybe something will be different, but it'll take a lot of work to get there.
Let's hope indeed. Jelani Cobb, thank you very much for your time this evening.